Welcome to the Scottish Watches podcast. We have got a pair of returning guests with good news, good tidings, and something that you guys want to listen to, because today is a very special day. But I'm not going to tell you why. I'm going to have our guests of honour tell you why. So we have on the line with us the team behind William Wood Watches. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Very good.
Right, you can both introduce yourselves and tell the listeners exactly where in the world you are, because I think it's a sunnier climb than where I am just now.
Absolutely. So my name's Johnny. I am the founder of William Wood Watches and actually the grandson of William Wood. Both Marie and I are actually in Cairo, and Yeah, tell me about it.
I thought it was Newcastle.
Not as glamorous, but I'm actually sat here in the flat cold, believe it or not, in Cairo. And I've come here from Namibia, and prior to that, we did a month in South Africa. So we were just talking about that before the podcast.
Wow. Why are you traveling all over the world? Interpol after you?
Possibly. Yeah. That's possibly what it is. To be fair, we just found out that my visa into Cairo had been rejected, but it's too late now because I'm in the country.
We're going to keep him well hidden.
At least you're not a tennis star, because that doesn't seem to matter too much.
It doesn't. No.
It doesn't, but no. We're here to talk about good things, not bad things. And you have a celebration. Do you want to tell us all about that? What is it we're celebrating today?
Yes. So today we are celebrating our 5-year anniversary as a brand. So it's quite unbelievable, really, that we've got to the stage that we have over the last 5 years. And thinking all the way back to actually a Wetherspoons pub in Hexham, which is a tiny little village about 20 miles west of Newcastle, speaking to a friend about a crowdfunding platform called Kickstarter and really sort of getting into the depths of watches, and going home after that conversation and setting up what is now known to the world, really, as William Wood Watches.
Yeah, and it really is known across the world, because we have a massive audience, not just here in the UK and the States, but further afield. And after the last episode you guys were on, where you explained the history of the brand, where you've taken it to, the way that you use all these antique things and everything to do with the fire services, not just in the UK, but again, across the world, the tons and tons of emails and DMs that we got from people saying that they hadn't heard of you, or maybe they had heard of you, but they didn't know the story. They hadn't had the time to look into things, but you gave them such a breadth of knowledge. And even to this day, we still get messages across different platforms asking us for more information on what you're up to. And we've tried to be as secretive as possible at things, because there were lots of plans hoping to come to fruition last year that got delayed, not just with yourselves, but with things we were working on. But you're here today to tell us all about everything. So give us a catch up from the last time you're on, which I believe was about last May. What's going on the rest of 2021 and beyond?
Unbelievable, really.
Ah, and before we do that, we're going to do a wrist check.
You nearly did.
Right, okay. And Marie, you can go first. Ladies before gentlemen.
Absolutely. So I am wearing our Valiant white watch. It is a Japan Seiko with our red fire hose straps, which is actually one of our signature straps and most popular ones.
Excellent. When did that one come out?
That came out, oh gosh, this was the second collection that we launched. Would have been December 2019. I mean, you're really testing me here, Ricky, because we launched a lot of watches. So this was our definitely one of our more significant launches in our early days.
Is it still available, or is that one well gone now and sold out?
No, it's absolutely available. I mean, I think we're more or less stocked in the majority of the colours of the Valiant collection.
Johnny, what you got?
Yeah, so I'm actually wearing the same piece, but in a different colour. So the Valiant collection is actually our most iconic piece. It's the one that everybody around the world knows us for, and that's the reason why we stock it in every colour. So I've got our green Valiant with a lovely British Racing green dial, British Racing green bezel, and it's coupled up with our British Armed Forces Fire and Defence Unit green fire hose strap. Obviously donated to us by the British Army.
And what size is Marie's one? What size is yours?
Well, we have the same case size at a 41 millimeter. So we do advertise our watches as unisex, but the amount of queries that we're getting now to produce a, let's say, feminine style watch is it's overwhelming, actually. So that's something which is on the roadmap for future collections.
Well, it's something we talk about all the time. There doesn't seem to be any differentiation between genders when it comes to watches in this day and age. and people will buy what they like. They don't even care what it says at the top of the screen, male, female, mm-hmm. doesn't matter at all.
I wear my watch, Ricky, not just because Johnny pays me to, but actually it fits really yes. well. I don't know if that means I've got particularly large wrists or whether it is actually, you know, unisex.
Nicely balanced, I say.
Very balanced. And I am wearing my Omega Apollo 8 Speedmaster. So it's the dark side of the moon. Got this about, let me think now, 3 and a bit years ago. As I keep saying, I never get a chance to wear my own watches because we're always getting sent in testers, loaners, press samples. But I thought we'd throw this on the wrist today because it's been in the watch box for a while. It needed wound because you need to do that with your watches. If you've got a collection, you can't mm-hmm. leave them sitting around because the lubricants can become stale. Just like a car, you need to sort of turn it over once every so often. So at least once a month, guys, if you've got an automatic or a manual watch, be sure to give it a wind, rotate the hands, rotate the mechanism for the date, and you will be all good and proper. So that's what I'm wearing today. And obviously, Mizzy will be putting details of all these watches, plus everything we speak about on the show, in our show notes. So if you want to play along at home, click the link in your podcast player and you can see what we're talking about as we unfold the show. And it is time to unfold the show. So bring us up to speed then. It was May 2021. We had a great chat about where things had been up until that point. But a bit like ourselves, since then, the sky was the limit and you bust through it, got into outer space and you're leaving the solar system.
It's a lovely introduction there. There was so much that happened in 2021, and rolling into 2022, the momentum just feels pretty enormous, to be fair. And I think we'll probably start with one of the main highlights from last year, and that was really supporting, I'd say, the 20-year anniversary of 9/11. So obviously, we are a heavily firefighter-inspired brand. And we've talked about this on previous shows where in the early stages, the majority of our customers, probably the first 12 months, Ricky, was mostly firefighters or first responders. And now we're at the stage where about 75% of our customers are just general watch enthusiasts, predominantly in the UK and the US. And a lot of our customers love our story and have a connection to it because of a first responder or a firefighter who's been in the family. And we just knew that for the 20-year anniversary of 9/11, we had to do something big. So we reached out to a foundation in the US called the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. You know what it's like in America. Everything is just bigger and better. So they raise about $25 to $26 million a year. And all of the money that they raise, get this, actually pays off the mortgages of families of fallen firefighters.
Wow.
I mean, when I heard that, I was almost blown off the chair, really, because to be able to know that your entire mortgage is covered after losing somebody, obviously, in firefighting is unbelievable. So we knew that we needed to help in some way, shape or form. So what we did was we created a one-of-a-kind 9/11 commemorative watch based on our Triumph Heat watch. Now, this is a watch which normally retails for $3,500. We basically added the commemoration New York skyline to the back of the watch, and we had the 20-year anniversary date engraved into the back of the watch as well. And we couldn't believe it, but the watch actually sold for $19,000, that one piece.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be very honest here. We were, I suppose the number we had in our head was just a tiny bit lower than that. But the fact that every penny of that went to this foundation was amazing. I mean, it was a long project that we worked on, and the team there were fantastic. They were very excited about it. And the fact that we were able to just raise awareness for, you know, just supporting all the families that had lost someone in 9/11 or online 9/11 was just, you know, something incredibly rewarding. I suppose, you know, we are a commercial brand, you know, we're a profit-making brand, but to be able to do something like that that was purely for charity was incredibly rewarding.
Did you happen to find out who it was that won the auction, where the watch ended up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I was speaking to him today. He's become one of our top customers. He's gone on and purchased a whole load of William Wood watches. We speak over WhatsApp now. So I'd say we're more mates than customers, customer sort of business owner relationship. And he's just a fantastic guy, really. So for him to take that leap of faith as a brand new William Wood watches customer and go, do you know what? Here's $19,000.
That was the next question. Had he heard of you before, or was he just sort of blown away by this and now he's a customer for life?
Yeah, so he was a beneficiary of the charity. So when they sent the email out, he was on it straight away. And now, obviously, he's become a sort of a lifelong customer and lifelong friend as well, which is really the beautiful part of what we do. When people purchase one of our watches, they're becoming part of a family. And I think there was quite a few wins that came with that. And one of them, which was a real pinch me moment, was being on the front page of Hodinkee's website as well. So Hodinkee did full coverage of the auction that we were doing. So it was lovely to see that we had full coverage on there from Cole too. And there was moments like that throughout the whole sort of 20-year anniversary process, which was just sort of made it all worthwhile, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it definitely raises the bar for this year.
Yes.
I mean, we tend to host a big event. I mean, it's usually online given the state of the world these days for International Firefighters Day. So every, you know, the 4th of May every year is International Firefighters Day. And that's really how we got to the idea of this auction. We'd already successfully done it 2 years running. And then we thought, well, let's, you know, go bigger and better for the state. And we did. And so I think now we've raised the bar, we're going to have to keep pushing ourselves to raise more and more each year.
It's good to hear you say that, because some people rest on their laurels a little bit too much. But you guys, every time I speak to you, and we have conversations at least once every couple of weeks, at least twice a month, and there's always something happening. There's always a little PDF ending up in my email that says, this is what's coming next.
Yeah.
Get prepared. Most of it's embargoed, so we have to sit on it. We're good guys, you know, we don't let the cat out of the bag. But I've actually just thought, we've grown dramatically in the last year since we had you on. You guys have grown dramatically. So there's going to be some listeners that maybe don't know the history of the brand. And not to sort of go over old ground, but can you give me the 60-second elevator pitch just to refresh the memory of maybe people that have heard and obviously the new folks that are here for the first time?
Yeah, so William Wood was the name of my late grandfather. He served in the British Fire Service, specifically up in Newcastle and Gateshead Fire Brigade for 25 years on the Blue Watch. The Blue Watch is a shift pattern. So in the fire service, there's four different colours that basically decides which shift pattern and which team you work on. My grandfather was a massive role model in my life. I'm speaking to him as my late grandfather. Sadly, he passed away in 2009, but he retired from the fire service in 1982. And the legacy that he left and the stories that he told me was something that I'll never forget. And I always knew that one day I would like to run a business that I would do for the rest of my life, which would be dedicated to somebody or something, which would really get me out of bed every morning. And as soon as we knew that we wanted it to be watches, there was no hesitation in my mind at all that it was going to be dedicated to my grandfather. And what makes us incredibly unique, Ricky, is we make watches from genuine upcycled firefighting materials. So we'll take an original 1920s British brass firefighter's helmet, we'll take it into a family-run company in the jewellery district of London, melt it down, put it in every single one of our watches, and we make all of our straps from genuine upcycled fire hose or fire kit. So we say that every one of our watches has real firefighting history beating throughout.
And just to let any listeners know, we covered this in the last show, those melted down vintage helmets, they aren't a rarity. Nothing is getting destroyed here. There are many of them out there, so do not panic if you're hearing that thinking, oh my God, antiques are getting smelted.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Ricky, because we do get a couple of people sounding very annoyed at the prospect of us taking something incredibly rare and, you know, breaking it down, melting it and putting it in a luxury watch. But you're absolutely right. You know, we wouldn't be taking something that belongs in a museum and putting it in luxury watches.
And basically, we donate a percentage of all sales to international firefighting charities. So obviously, we've touched upon the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. We donate back to the firefighters charity in the UK who actually helped my grandfather when he was alive. So it's pretty damn special knowing that every single watch that we sell generates back to a contribution back to a charity that actually helped my grandfather when he was alive and well and in the fire service.
Thank you for that recap. Refreshed my memory because it's not been quite the same since COVID. I filled in a few gaps here for myself and obviously the listeners as well. Tell us what else has been happening last year, because you went on a bit of a tour, not just across the world, but here in the UK. There was a couple of events that you turned up at that we heard people walked up to you, having heard our previous show, and started having a chat and then bought some watches. So tell us all about that.
Yeah, so what you're talking about there is Watch Pro. So we attended the Watch Pro Salon, which happened in, it was right in Leicester Square in London. It was actually at the Londoner Hotel. To be fair, that was a fantastic show. I mean, this was the first real big show that we were doing after COVID. So we didn't know how many people were going to actually show up. And I remember on the Friday evening, there were so many people in the auditorium that you actually couldn't even really hear yourself think, which was amazing. And every 30 seconds, we had people coming across to our stand. Now, the cool thing was we were sort of right next to a huge brand like Auris, and Monica was there from Doxa as well. And it's just so brilliant that we have the opportunity to stand alongside some of these sort of huge juggernauts that I would say in the industry, and have such a nice welcoming and be taken really seriously as well. And it's what's also was really cool about the show was so many of the most prestigious journalists that write some really interesting stuff about watches will all stop at our stand, come over, say hello, and really want to wear our watches, and are really actually just as passionate as we are. And I think that's another lovely acid test when people who really know watches inside out are coming and stopping at your stand and not walking past it. That was a real sort of testament to the impact that I think we left there. And it was cool. We were involved in different panels and discussions about British watchmaking, and we just really enjoyed the event.
Well, we heard some of these panels were really good. I think it was the guys from Oracle team that were interviewing you.
That is right. Yeah. We had Sam Kessler, editor of Oracle Time, really good guy, who was hosting our panel. I was actually alongside Rich from Studio Underdog. Robert Looms was on the panel as well. Neil Duckworth from Duckworth Prestex was on the panel too. And it was a really interesting conversation. And again, I think having the ability to sit alongside other brand owners, that's the really cool thing about being a British watch brand. I know you had the Alliance on recently. It's almost again being like part of a family and a support network. So it was just a brilliant event and something that we've already signed up for next year.
This year.
I know. Yeah, I think we're both sort of stuck in 2021 or even 2020.
Yeah. But then again, our new financial year starts tomorrow, 1st yes. of March. So yes. I could have said new financial year. Yeah.
I'll let you away with that one. No, but you're right. Exactly. All those names that you mentioned, it almost sounds like the Scottish Watch's greatest hits album, because it's all people that we, again, speak to. And you've hit the nail on the head. When we had Roger and Mike France from the Alliance on, the thing that kept coming up with me was, this is a family community. You should all be competitors and out for each other's blood, but it is definitely not like that. Especially mm-hmm. here in the UK, the watch brands all help each other out left, right and centre, and it's a fantastic thing. Love it. Okay, so that was one of the events. Releases last year, since we last spoke, obviously you've been churning them out because there is a built-up demand for them. What came out since we last spoke?
So we launched the Bronze Ruby with new straps that we hadn't really launched before. So we managed to get a hold of uniform kit, so firefighter kit, which is effectively these canvas-like uniforms but we're not supposed to call them uniforms, they're called firefighter kit. And we paired them with a Bronze Ruby, which was the first time we'd launched that color, and it paired really nicely with those straps. So we launched that in October, I believe. I mean, we launched so many, Ricky, that it does get a bit muddled with when we've launched each one. And so, yeah, that was a success. And it was just such a, you know, beautiful color. Mm-hmm. I mean, it appealed to so many of our existing customers and new customers.
Yeah, I've kind of heard from people that you have, it's a loyal fan base. And I've heard this with certain other brands, not all of them, very, very select and very few. But once you get one customer, they come back because they buy into what you believe in, and the fact mm-hmm. that you have a percentage going to charities. You didn't need to do that. You don't need to do all these things. You could have one and done it and went, yeah, we've done this firefighter charity thing, that's over and done with. But because you continuously do it, you've built this following, mass following, that are hang on your every word to see what's coming next. And the watch we're going to talk about later on that you're launching today, I think they're going to be absolutely blown away by it. But we'll get to that. I'll let you continue speaking now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the beautiful things about this brand, Ricky, is that it is so personal to Johnny. I mean, you could be working for a company and the brand doesn't really have an emotional identity, but because it's so linked to Johnny's heritage and his respect for his grandfather and the close connection he had, that it does touch the hearts of so many people. So even if you don't have a link to the firefighting service, you could possibly have a mentor or a close family relative that you miss, or that you still have a close relationship with. And so the story of the brand does touch you. And what we found, that once we have a William Wood customer, they come back for the majority of the collections. I mean, you'd think they may buy one and then skip a few collections and then come back for a different type of watch. I mean, we've got, the Dive Range, and then we launched our Chronograph series. So, in between, we've launched various colors of the Valiant collection. You'd think that maybe they'd skip a few of those, but they have actually, they send us pictures. I mean, it's such a beautiful journey because, you know, between, you know, the employees of the brand, everyone has a touch point with the customers. And it's really, really special. I mean, we personally read all of the Trustpilot reviews and every email that gets sent. One of the things that I don't think many brands can say is that they personally have the founder respond to every customer. So I think that's just really beautiful that we have that connection.
Listeners out there, as you're hearing this, if you are one of these guys that loves William Wood and you want to get in touch with us to do reviews of the new watches as they come in, because I like to hear from people that have got this massive affection for a brand and speak from the heart. We've got Mark Wheeler, who is an absolute Christopher Ward nut, enthusiast, nut job, whatever you want to call him. He does reviews of all those watches when they come in. I'm looking for the William Wood ambassador. So if that's you, drop me an email, info@scottishwatches.co.uk, and we can have a chat about you doing some reviews for us in the future. Because like you say, you know, you're releasing watches all the time. We try and get as many of them on the show as possible, but we are but a small team.
I think that would be lovely, really, because you'll be hearing firsthand from a passionate, loyal supporter of the company. And I think Murray summed it up perfectly, because it's people who actually appreciate our ethos and our values. So hell, I throw the gauntlet out there as well. I'd love somebody to put the hat in the ring and go for it.
So this bronze ruby you mentioned there, what were the differences on that iteration versus the prior ones?
So the key difference really is the colour patterns, really. So the bronze sapphire watch that we launched in August of 2020, that just absolutely flew out. And I laugh as well, because I listen to podcasts a lot, especially watch podcasts. And you must get sick of founders coming on and saying, oh, this watch sold out in like 24 hours or 48 hours. But it genuinely is happening. And we had that with our bronze sapphire. And we just thought, somebody has appreciated our valiant design so much. We wanted to pay a bit more homage and respect to it, that we thought we'd build it in a bronze case. And at the time, we felt like we were a little bit ahead of the game. In August 2020, there wasn't many brands coming out there with a bronze watch. And it seemed like as soon as we launched it, so many other brands were doing it at the same time. And bronze was sort of the flavor of the month. We like to sort of, I guess, push boundaries and be a little bit different with colors and textures and patterns. So I thought, you know what? I haven't seen many ruby effect dials and bezels against bronze. And I think it looks absolutely stunning, especially coupled up against our desert sand color fire kit strap. It's a really, really unique look. And I think if you're maybe sat on the sidelines and you think, I love what William Wood watches do, but the colors of our watches can be striking and can be bold, because that's what we stand for. Our bronze ruby was more of a subtle kind of tone and option, having that more sort of neutral desert sand fire kit strap coupled up with it. So the real difference between the two was, we've got one with a sapphire dial and bezel, and another with a ruby dial and bezel.
Right, we're going to change up from watches to another love of mine, and that is motorcycles.
Yes.
Lots of things have been happening with you guys. Lots of things were supposed to happen last year, but you know what the world has been like. No one needs to tell our listeners, because everyone's had delays and problems and issues to deal with. But do you want to tell us all about the bike, what's been happening with it, and what the plan is now?
Yes. So we are super excited about this. So touching upon what Murray said earlier, every single year we are trying to raise the bar on International Firefighters Day, which, believe it or not, is the 4th of May. So May the 4th be with you. I've got no idea who chose that date. So this year, we thought, how do we do better than raising $19,000 for a watch? Well, let's collaborate with a motorcycle company and bring horology into machine. So the way this came about was, we have created the world's first William Wood Watches motorbike made using upcycled firefighting materials and William Wood watch parts. It's been built by a phenomenal custom bike builder in Scotland called Saltire Motorcycles, based just outside of Edinburgh, who I know you know well, Ricky.
I bought a bike from them in the past, yes.
You had a great experience, I hope?
I did. I went back looking for more.
That's the beautiful thing about what they do, hopefully some of the listeners have either visited or will want to visit Saltire Motorcycles. They've created an incredible experience up there. It's like, I mean, sometimes it feels like you're walking into like a country western film where they've converted all the ground floor into almost what looks like a sort of Texas saloon. And it's different areas and you walk down this sort of internal road that they've made. And it's a hell of an experience. We have basically taken both brands' values and ethos and we've combined them and made this phenomenal bike, which is called the Always Ready Motorbike. It's finished in fire engine red. They actually brought in a hand painter who hand painted 22 karat gold foil detailing onto the bike, just like how you would find it on a vintage fire engine. We have wrapped the handlebars with Angus Duraline fire hose, upcycled. So when you're actually feeling the grips of the handlebars, it's made from that really nice rigid red rubber. Placed in the side of the handlebars is the back of our Chivalrous Collection coin, made from a 1920s British brass firefighter's helmet. And the handlebars themselves, believe it or not, are actually made from wood from a firefighter ladder, repurposed from 1975 off the side of a Leyland fire engine. And the details of this bike are just next level, man. We've got the back of our Triumph Collection watch, which says in case of fire, break glass, pressed into the gas tank. It's got fire hose running through the saddle. It's just mind-boggling. I saw it for the first time and the hairs stood up on the back of my neck. And believe it or not, but anybody can win this bike for £100. Anybody.
I think what was really important with this collaboration, Ricky, was pretty much what Johnny set out to do from the outset, which was making sure that this very luxurious, call it product, bike, was accessible to the average person. And as much as we are a luxury profit-making brand, we do always come back to, you know, fundraising for, you know, firefighting charities, but also making luxury items accessible. And so the fact that you can pay £100 and win a bike that is around £30,000 worth, with all of the profits going to the firefighters charity in the UK, is just incredible. I mean, it is massive shame that I cannot buy a ticket because even though I can't ride a bike, if you win the bike, you also get lessons. So Saltire have been very generous where, you know, it doesn't matter if you can't ride the bike, they will arrange lessons for you and the exam on site in Edinburgh. And so you don't have to worry about the fact that you can't ride. You've got to have the will to continue riding it and make sure you practice. But I think we've tried, and that, you know, with the help of Saltire as well, we tried to make this as accessible as possible, especially that we are doing this for a charity, and Saltire were very, very clear on the outset that they wanted to support the firefighters charity as well, as much as we can. And I think we are making it very difficult for ourselves every year to keep raising the bar.
I mean, I know.
You know, for better or for worse, Ricky, we're both ex-bankers. And I think maybe we've got this competitive nature. So we just like pushing ourselves every year.
Well, I have questions. I always have questions. The first one is, what motorcycle is it they based it upon?
So it's Indian Motorcycles and it's their Scout Bobber, which for me is such a cool base bike.
There we go. And there will be pictures in the show notes if you don't know what this looks like. I didn't know what it looked like until I saw the pictures of it. And if anyone has got vibes of Pimp My Ride or Orange County Choppers, do not be alarmed. This is not bric-a-brac thrown together. I've seen the process since it was started. The base bike is stunning on its own. And what's been done here, it's been done so well and crafted together. It's not what people may think in their head. Oh my God, that sounds like it's driven through Halford's window. Not in the slightest, trust me. Actually, look at the thumbnail picture for this episode if you don't believe me and you can't be bothered checking the show notes. It is a beautiful beastie. And unfortunately, a bit like Marie there, I cannot enter because people that are involved with promoting this charity and this event are ineligible. So unfortunately, that will not go into my garage beside my Suzuki, but someone out there will get that. And the other question I have is, why did you choose a place in Scotland to build the bike? I'm very happy. I mean, it's a guy I know, Callum, who runs the place. I've known him for many years. As I mentioned, I traded in a bike, bought a bike from him, tried to buy more, but he just didn't have the stock at the time. What made you come up here?
So quite an interesting story. We had a guy based up in the northeast of England, so obviously true to my heart, who bought one of our watches for his grandson. And when he saw his grandson unpackage the watch, he was absolutely blown away by the craftsmanship, the story, the ethos, the charitable donations. He then reached out to me and let me know that he actually sat on the National Motorcycle Scottish Board and was a non-executive director of Saltire Motorcycles. So that was when we sort of connected, and the idea was thrown out there of, wouldn't it be amazing to be able to combine both companies' values, which are really, really strong in their own right, which we couldn't lose or we couldn't favor on one side or the other, and bring it both together. It's one of it's certainly the most unique collaboration I can say confidently that Saltire has done. And it's the first time we've collaborated outside of watches. And both companies are just so, so proud of what we've actually produced. And I think it's worth saying that there's actually only 300 tickets, Ricky. So there's a 1 in 300 chance of winning, which I would take those odds any day to win a prize worth £30,000 in exchange for £100. All profits, as I say, go into charity. Now, anybody who wins the bike outside of the UK, the cost of shipping the bike would have to be covered by the winner, because there is a strong chance, because of how US orientated our customer base is, that somebody potentially in the States could win it. I mean, wouldn't it be magnificent if a firefighter in Scotland was to win the bike?
I know a lot of firefighters in Scotland who are keen motorcyclists. There is a connection, without being morbid, there is a connection between bikers and firefighters and the ambulance service, because unfortunately, motorcyclists are higher in the percentage stakes for having accidents. Either sometimes we cause them ourselves, sometimes people don't see us and they just turn their cars, or bikes end up in silly places. So firefighters and ambulance teams are our best friends. So that is good. And I've been out in many rideouts with different people from different emergency services. So there will be a lot of interest in this, I can tell you. And The bike has already been on show. We're recording this just a couple of days before it goes out. We're always trying to tie the dates together, and there's a reason it's coming out today. But this has already been on show down at the London Motorcycle Show in February, and it's coming to Scotland. It's coming back home.
Yeah, so the bike is going to be displayed. Well, anybody really who turns up to Saltire Motorcycles will also have the ability to see the bike, but it's also going to be at the Scottish Motorcycle Show, which is going to be awesome. So anybody who is going to be attending that will be able to see the bike. It will also be coming to the London Watch Show. So anybody who's going to the London Watch Show, William Wood Watches has a stand. Both Maria and I will be there. Callum, the founder of Saltire Motorcycles, will be there. Levi, who built the bike, will be there. And we have a combined watch and motorcycle stand. And on the Sunday, if you attend, you'll see my mug on stage doing a little presentation with the bike next to me, talking about the collaboration that we're doing. And we'll be registering interest in tickets at the show as well.
And those dates for people that want to attend, I'm actually going to the Scottish Motorcycle Show this year myself, because it's been off for the past couple due to COVID. So that is the 12th and the 13th of March, and the London Watch Show, in case you don't know when that is the 18th to the 20th. I believe the 18th, though, is a kind of private VIP press and media type thing, so it'll more likely be the 19th and the 20th. And for people looking to get tickets, when do they go on sale? When is the actual charity draw?
So they can buy tickets on the 20th of April, and we will be announcing the winner on the 4th of May up in Scotland. With the Firefighters Charity present, and hopefully the Chief Fire Officer of Scotland.
Oh, whereabouts?
We're going to do it at Saltire Motorcycles. So we're going to do it over Instagram Live, actually. So anybody who's bought a ticket or just wants to view who wins can tune into William Wood Watches or Saltire or the Firefighters Charity Instagram Live account. Martin Blundell, who's the Chief Fire Officer of Scotland, is going to sort of draw the random name out of the hat. And I think even the Deputy Chief of Scotland is going to be there too. So it's going to be a hell of a day.
Well, I will definitely be coming along to that as long as I am in the country. And haven't caught COVID again or something.
As long as your name is not on the ticket, that's going to be fine. We're both a little bit worried that the draw will actually be someone we know. We've got to be really careful with that.
It's always a predicament, but I remember a couple of years back, we went to an event in Edinburgh with Mont Blanc, and unfortunately a member of our team won a trip to Mont Blanc's factory, all expenses paid, and we kind of threw it back into the hat and said, yeah, pick that one again, guys. But no, I'm looking forward to it. There's so much happening. I mean, it's all the time. You guys have got things coming out, but we're here today to talk about a watch specifically. It is a 5-year anniversary. You've done something special, something you haven't done before. Tell us all about it.
Absolutely. I mean, what we've done this time is that we have created a bronze amethyst watch that we are launching today. on the 3rd of March, and we are limiting it to 55 pieces. And obviously the 55, you know, draws from the fact that it is our 5-year anniversary. The reason we have chosen Amethyst is because we were actually incorporated in February, and Amethyst is, you know, related to February. So we've chosen that. It's, you know, we are not going to produce anything beyond the 55 pieces. So we are expecting, you know, this watch to sell out very quickly. I mean, we've not done this before where we've limited the collection to such a small number. And, you know, production-wise, it's not easy to do, to actually produce something in such a small quantity. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work for a small number of watches. But this is to commemorate and to celebrate the 5-year journey. I mean, just thinking back to how far the brand has come. I mean, I've been working with Johnny for, I think, coming up to 3 years now. And just the transformation and the fact that every watch collection we produce just you know, ups the game every time. And so we're incredibly proud of this 5-year anniversary watch, the Bronze Amethyst. And on the back of the watch, we've got a beautiful, you know, number 5 with a flame coming in the background. I mean, it's hard to describe. You've really got to see the watch because it pairs really beautifully with our signature fire hose straps as well. And you can pair it with most colors. We've actually tested it on the majority of the colors that we produce in fire hose. So whether it's the firefighter kit straps, or whether it's the red, you know, our signature red fire hose straps, or even the blue fire hose straps, it works really, really well. And I think, Johnny, have we tested it even with the yellow? I don't know, did we think that went really well as well?
I actually think yellow is one of the best combinations.
Yep.
But I've never seen, well, there will be watches out there, but I haven't yet seen a bronze watch with a sort of plum violet dial bezel combination. And I think it's a very, very unique combination, but it just works. So that the actual dial color that we chose is a metallic shimmer plum violet. So when the light catches it just right, it's got that beautiful sort of sun ray burst to it. And it looks magnificent against the bronze case. So like all of the watches we release, our customers like something which is a little bit different. So I think they're gonna love this.
Well, I have seen the pictures. I've kept them under my hat. And you're right. For anyone that's trying to visualize what this looks like, I will try and cram in a small picture of this on the thumbnail for this episode as well. It's going to be quite a cramped little thumbnail, this one. But yeah. Violet is the word. I think you hit the nail on the head. I'd have said vibrant purple, but it does. It sheens into that violety blue purple mix. Blurple. But no, it's fantastic looking. And with the bronze case, what kind of mix of bronze is it you guys are using? Because it looks slightly different and it is more in tune with that color scheme with the purpley violet.
It's the same cushion bronze that we use on the previous cases. But the cool thing is about any bronze watch, really, as soon as you obviously unpackage your watch out of your red leather travel roll, which is inspired by a fire hose, which is really cool when you're unboxing your watch. That's an experience in itself. The case just looks brand new, as if it's like this luscious sort of bronze rose gold looking effect. And obviously over time it begins to patina. So we have some customers who try and compete against each other as to how much patina they can add to the watch. And then the next day they'll put it in some lemon and baking soda and it'll be looking brand new again. So yeah, we have some pretty outlandish customers.
Yeah, I'm more in the second camp. I like to keep my bronze watches looking as clean and fresh as the day they were made. But it's an easy process. Like you say, all you need to do is buy a couple of lemons, cut them into quarters, just grind that lemon juice all over the case, leave it a couple of minutes and wash it off, and it's as good as new. There's another thing that we've avoided up until this point, and it's to do with our charity watch auction. And you were one of the first guys to jump at the chance to get involved in this. We've seen the pictures of it. It's been produced. It's almost ready. And, you know, it's, again, I'm just going to let you guys take the stage and tell us all about it.
So whenever we're asked to produce a charity watch, we always want to make a watch which is nothing like what William Wood has done in the past, because we want to make the watch so sexy that really one of our customers is going to chomp at the bit to put their money where their mouth is and try and place as big a bigger auction bid as possible, and obviously drive the best possible contribution to the charity. You're comfortable for me to talk about the actual design of the watch?
Yes, we're both friends.
Absolutely. So what we've done this time round, which is a complete first for us in 5 years of running William Wood watches, we've actually chosen a metallic shimmer Sunburst Orange Dial, which I'm surprised it's taken us this long to choose, because if you think about fire, you think about flames, it's really aligned to what we do. But the reason that we chose that was because of the charity that we're supporting, Maggie's charity. Their corporate colors has this lovely deep orange color to it, and we thought it'd be so cool to align it to who we're trying to raise money for anyway from the auction. We've actually created a bezel which is fully stainless steel rather than ceramic, and that's a first for us. So we've filled the actual prints on the bezel with orange. So we've got a fully stainless steel bezel with prints along the outside filled with orange loom. Also, for the first time ever, we've used a loom behind the dial, which is orange too. So we use a sandwich dial in our Valiant collection, and the loom on the watch is actually going to be orange too. The final aesthetic, we've got the watch all produced already, which again, pretty good going, because to produce a watch from scratch and just making model one of dials and bezels, we were really keen to get this to you, Ricky, as soon as we could. And something which is really cool is we've also done another debut and another first of creating straps made from orange upcycled fire hose donated by Sacramento Fire Service in California. So it's done over 10 years worth of service over in California. It's been chopped up, repurposed, cleaned, and put into our rubber watch strap. So there's a lot of things, and this is almost a world exclusive here. This is why I was asking if we could talk about this. Our customers don't know this is coming, and I think they're going to lose the plot really when they see the watch and they hear what we've done. And we're just really, really excited to get this model one of one up for auction, and we're proud to participate and support.
Well, you're one of the first to jump at the chat. Well, one of the first that we contacted. And as soon as I said it to you before I'd finished the first sentence, you said we're in. So that was a good sign.
Yeah.
And then you said, I've got some ideas. What do you think? And I said to you guys, listen, you're the experts. This is your baby. You know, this is your game. You come up with something that you think is appropriate, suits the charity. And you just took that information and you ran with it. You said, I maybe saw a visual before I saw the pictures of the real watch. And I just said, yeah, that is absolutely perfect. I would not change a thing on it. And you've been continuously updating us, sending us pictures of it, showing us the case back, which we'll probably keep that a little bit of a surprise at the moment, because that's pretty special in itself. And being a one-of-one piece, I think you're the first brand to actually come back and have the watch produced. There has been a couple more after you, obviously, but you were the guys that were first off the starting blocks and first across the finish line. So thank you very much for your help and your participation. I'm sure Maggie's will be more than thrilled when they get to see it as well, because they've not even seen the pictures or the watch either. We've kept it all a big surprise for them.
That's going to be really cool to see their reaction when they see all the different lots.
Again, that was something that we had planned for the tail end of last year, but due to Omicron and different problems, it was just going to be infeasible to do. Just impossible to actually pull together. So we pulled back a little bit, which gave you a bit of breathing space, obviously, because you were panicking as well, going, oh, Christ, oh, we need to get this stuff done quickly. Everybody's given a little bit of breathing space to get everything sorted out. And it means we've got all these other opportunities with your launches, with your other charitable deeds, to get them out and let everybody know what's happening. What's happening for the remainder of the year? Surely things don't just finish on May the 4th.
Absolutely not. I mean, we want to be a little bit careful that we don't give too much away. I mean, you can expect many, many watch launches to come. This is a good problem we have in the team, where the creative team, mainly headed up by Johnny, comes up with a different watch idea every day. I have to use my rare veto card to say no.
I'll stop you there and I'll ask a question that I was going to ask while Johnny was telling me about the orange watch straps. How do you come across all these different places like Sacramento Fire Service? How do you get in touch with them? Did they get in touch with you?
So much research, Ricky, basically. And also, let's not forget that we've got really, give or take, about 3,000 customers now. So the reach that we have just by tapping up our own customer base and dipping into serving and retired firefighters who will know somebody who will know somebody, because each fire service has an operational center. And when their equipment comes to the end of its life, it has to go somewhere. And sadly, a lot of it goes into landfill. And I do say sadly, because fire hose is so beautiful. And obviously, it's not the best material to chuck into landfill, because it's built to last a lifetime. So we have access now to different operational units all around the world who will tell us constantly of new unique apparatus which is coming up to either be donated to us or something that we can purchase with profits going back to their fire service. And really, we're taking inspiration every day. Every day that we're walking around or looking at different, even when a fire engine comes past, or you're looking at different fire exits or fire alarms, or just any, I mean, yeah, you probably think that an absolute nutter.
No, we definitely don't look at that stuff the same way, do we? I mean, it's a maybe bit not. Weird how I drive a lot slower next to fire stations now. It's definitely other people find it a bit strange. But I think because of our connection to our customer base, Johnny's absolutely right. It is a bit easier for us to get our hands on this stuff. The challenge actually is turning this very, very, you know, sort of, I'm going to call it stubborn material into a luxury item. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's made to last. It's made to withstand, you know, incredible conditions. So it does take us a long testing period to turn, you know, a fire hose reel into beautiful straps.
And where is that work completed? Is that done in the UK or is that done abroad?
Yeah, we do it abroad. So we've got a factory over in Switzerland who will allow us to be able to upcycle our fire hose. We source all of our fire hose from different fire services around the world, predominantly the UK. The UK is split up into 52 different firefighting regions. Everybody uses different color fire hose, predominantly red though, but you'll get the unique colors such as your blues, your yellows. And we're constantly on the scout for hose which has obviously been used and done that 10 years worth of service, but is a unique and striking color. And it's like gold dust. That orange fire hose, trying to find that role again will take probably another few months. That's how difficult it was to find. But we will probably be able to get anything between 300 to 700 straps out of that.
What's the process of creating something from that? It's the most rugged material in the world. It's got to withstand, as you say, a decade of abuse and use. In the most extreme circumstances, it's not just heat and flame. There's like chemical spills. There's all kinds of stuff it has to deal with. How do you then make that malleable and turn that into a strap that's going to contour to a wrist? That's just incredible.
It's very, very difficult. And if I cast my mind back to 2019, when all we had was our chivalrous collection on a leather strap, and we were trying to think of ways to be able to really evolve and level up as a business, I knew that we had to incorporate something quite incredible. And obviously it was the fire hose straps that really helped us to be able to push the Valiant collection into the market. And honestly, it took us, I'd say, 6+ months of just sampling fire hose straps to get to a stage where we are today. And I mean, there's a few little hints and tips. I can't give away too much of it, but one of them is by actually applying a bit of heat to the rubber, it therefore, and pressing the rubber, it allows it to be more amenable. Because when fire hose turns cold, or it's just been sat in a unit or a shed for years, it is so difficult to be able to cut up, because as Maria was saying, it's designed to withstand everything. But we've managed to find a way to do it. And the funny thing is, when I look at our watches, I don't even think it looks out of place. Mm. It feels like it was meant to be there all along.
100% agree with that. Okay, I'll stop interrupting because we're nearly at the end of the show and there's a couple more things that I want the listeners to find out about. And one of them involves Portugal.
Yes, so I suppose this is something that you won't find other brands doing. As much as we want to get out there and go to, you know, all of these watch events that everyone's aware of, we support firefighting events. So one of the events we will be attending, and I'm so grateful, it's somewhere nice and sunny. It's going to be in Portugal in April, and it is the World Firefighter Games. And this is something that we've done from, you know, the early years of the brand, which is to support the British Firefighter Challenge. And this time we've upped our game and we're going to the World Firefighter Games. But we will continue to support the British Firefighter Challenge and most of the very large firefighting events out there. And I've actually not attended one yet, just because there was so much going on last year. But Johnny, you know, you've been attending all of them, and they're quite incredible.
So what goes on at them?
Yeah, you're probably thinking, what on earth is happening at the World Firefighter Games? Basically, it is the fittest elite firefighting athletes. So these are either whole time or volunteer firefighters from around the world will descend upon Lisbon, where there is different bespoke assault courses designed to really flex the muscles of firefighters in a way that actually showcases their job. So they'll be carrying 80 kilogram dummies 100 meters, then they'll be carrying fire canisters, then they'll be running up six flights of stairs, pulling up a 30 kilogram fire hose all the way up to the flight of stairs, running back down again, then taking an axe, chopping through wood. I mean, it's unbelievable. And I remember I was watching it from the sidelines at the Firefighter Challenge in Watford. And I was sat there thinking, oh, this is easy, this.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. Because I like doing a bit of fitness. Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, yeah. So the event organizer said, well, all right, if it's easy, let's get the whole William Wood crew along to try it. I couldn't even pick up the dummy. Like, so the dummy, they just make the dummy look like it's a cuddly toy. And when you pick it up, it's 80 kg and my calves were burning. But yeah, this time around, the World Firefighter Games have invited us to have an exhibition stand there. And we're even doing mini collaborations there where we're making some exclusive watch straps for all World Firefighter Games competitors, where people will be able to either purchase them as attendees, or if you're competing, you'll be getting one of these straps to enter the competition, which is cool in itself.
Yeah. So over the years, we've sponsored these events, always attended as a brand, and we've always donated a watch to the winner, and we'll continue to do so.
Which really makes the athletes go for it. So going from previous years, like maybe winning a statue or a wall-mounted axe or something along those kind of lines, to, okay, here's £1,000 plus watch. You can see the times are getting faster by about 5 to 6 seconds on the different events, which is great.
We're absolutely taking credit for that.
Yeah.
Of course. That's it. Pushing the athletes forward. Well, if you can get something that is useful instead of just sitting on the mantelpiece or on the wall, you know, it's also a talking point. It's a commemorative. We say that in the show all the time. For men especially, there's not many jewellery items that you can purchase and wear and show off. And a watch is a tool as much as it is a trinket. So that is absolutely fantastic. Okay, well, that is almost the end of the show. But there are a couple of things that you want to let people know about. If they want to see watches, they want to see motorcycles, or they want to meet the team behind all these amazing inventions, creations that you guys are pumping out left, right and centre. Because we just can't get enough of watches, and you are supplying that demand. So where can people see things? What are the places that they want to be heading to?
So I suppose the immediate opportunity to come meet the team and, you know, come try on all of our collections is at the London Watch Show in London, obviously, and that will be from the 18th to the 20th. The 18th is sort of it starts at 4:30 and it's a private preview. So probably the best days to come are the 19th and 20th. The whole team's going to be there. The bike's going to be there. I mean, obviously that you've got a whole range of watches that you get the rare opportunity to see firsthand, meet Johnny, the founder, meet myself. And obviously, we may be able to let you touch the bike, but probably not.
Well, there's a problem that you guys haven't thought of. You're taking a motorcycle to London Watch Show, and Paul Thorpe is going to be there. So he'll probably end up buying half the tickets, because he loves a good motorbike. He will be all over that. Have you spoken to him about this?
I've been speaking to Paul back and forth ever since Watch Bro, because that was the first time Paul and I met, and we really hit it off. Great, great guy. Because we actually did an episode together on his channel as well in London. But I haven't told him about the bike. So I think as soon as I come off this recording, I'll send him a voice message, and we might have 150 of the 300 tickets gone.
Instantly. Send him some pictures as well, because this is right in his wheelhouse. He would love this. He's always changing his bikes, but something like this, it'd be incredible. And then, well, maybe he couldn't win, because then that would look like a fix. But I'm sure he can get one of his family members to buy some tickets for him.
That'd be fun. Yeah, just don't put Thorpe on the end. Yeah.
But the date to look out for the bike is the 20th of April. That's when, and I would suggest you get on it to get, you know, one of those 300 tickets, one in 300 chance of winning the bike. But obviously today we are dropping our bronze amethyst to commemorate 5 years of William Wood watches.
And that is the reason this show is out today, because we actually managed to align our diaries to get it launched on launch day. So as you're reading the show notes, check the links, go straight across. If you like what you see, snap it up, because if you don't, someone else will. And then you will be crying to us in emails and DMs like you do all the time. So listen, it's been fantastic having you back on. It's been great to have you both in the same place, because when we speak on WhatsApp or Zoom calls, there's usually like somebody here, somebody there, Mexico, Egypt, the UK. Great to have you in the one place and on the line today. So thank you very much. If people want to check out more about William Wood watches, where should they go?
they should head to our website, williamwoodwatches.com, and definitely follow us on Facebook and Instagram at William Wood Watches.
And if you want more William Wood content, be sure to check the show notes, because we will link up the edition that we had with you guys last year, where you go more in depth about your grandfather, his history, and how the watch brand came to be and what had happened up until that point. So it's a good listen. And as I say, listeners have been getting in touch with us throughout the year, because people go through our back catalogue all the time. It's not just one and done. It's not like a radio show. We do have an immense back catalogue of content that people love to rummage around in. So thanks for coming on. If you guys want to check us out, we are online at Scottish Watches on Instagram. Our website is www.scottishwatches.co.uk. And if you want to get in touch with us, the best way is through email. Drop us a line at info@scottishwatches.co.uk. So thanks a lot, guys, and we will catch you again soon.
Thanks for having us on the show. We'll be right back.